Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, May 26, 2024, Romans.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Great to see a Gary Brown in uniform on this Memorial Weekend. Fantastic. And we are truly blessed as a congregation. Truly blessed to have Randy and Doty and Danielle with regard to the music ministry here. Yeah, I didn't know of any hymn that for Memorial Day. That was absolutely spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. And that a true Memorial Day hymn. And I hope you all appreciate the music ministry with Randy, Doty, and Danielle. It's phenomenal. I certainly do, and I hope that I go to heaven before they do, because I don't want to be here when Gary Brown comes back up here and starts leading singing. So I've got this in to God, you know. Just go ahead and take me out. Get out of here. Just now you can't wait to get up here and lead singing, can you? Verse 10 so far sounds like this. In fact, it's completed. Verse 10, and this very commandment, emphasizing the Mosaic law, as the marriage counselor of our first marriage from physical birth to salvation, which was supposed to result in life, eternal life, Codex number 2 of the Mosaic Law, I discovered it resulted in spiritual death for me, Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law. So, one, the Apostle Paul is using himself as a pattern for all mankind. He's using himself as a pattern for all mankind. Two, man has to know that he has a problem before he seeks a solution. Man has to know that he has a problem before he seeks a solution. Three, you have to know that you are a sinner in spiritual death before you seek the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and eternal salvation through faith in Him. You have to know that you are a sinner in spiritual death before you seek the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and eternal salvation through faith in Him. For both the problem and the solution are revealed in the Mosaic Law. As the marriage counselor of our first marriage when we were unbelievers. Our first husband, the sin nature. So both the problem and the solution are revealed in the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. At physical birth, the unbeliever in spiritual death is the wife, is married to the first husband, the sin nature. The Mosaic Law is the marriage counselor of the first marriage, declares, you know what, you have a very bad marriage, Codex number one. And then the Mosaic Law points to the solution, Codex number two. So five. So the Mosaic Law that taught the solution, Codex number two, also taught the problem, Codex number one. The commandments. So the Mosaic Law that taught the solution, Codex number two, also taught the problem. Codex number one. Sixth, the Mosaic Law points to the solution of the first marriage, Codex number two, Christ and His salvation work on the cross. Now it's in shadow form, but it's there. The Mosaic Law points to the solution of the first marriage, Codex number two, Jesus Christ and His salvation work on the cross. Seven. However, the problem must be understood before one seeks the solution. I was an unbeliever all the way up to about my senior year of high school. I didn't know I had a problem. I mean, a lot of other people thought they knew I had a problem, just that I didn't know I had a problem. Unbelievers don't know that they're sinners and spiritually dead and need a Savior. I was just a good old sinner, just having a great time. And then I go to this camp and then discover I have a sin nature. That's the first thing I discovered. Galatians 5, 19 to 21, pointing out, yeah, you have a sin nature, Dick Olson. And, yeah, I certainly do. And here is what God is like. That's what I want my life to be. I want my life to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. I want my life to be that, but it's not. And now, this is what you are, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. And Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all of those sins once and for all. He paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. All you have to do is simply believe in Jesus Christ. Now, my mother was a believer, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. When we get to chapter 6, we're going to be studying about the fact that a believer is not to marry an unbeliever. And that's very clear. Nowhere in the Word of God that says a believer should marry an unbeliever. Now, my mom was a believer. She married an unbeliever. My dad. And then he kind of squelched her and would not let her really talk to us about God and the Bible. And then I go to this camp and believe in Christ. And I was afraid to, tell my family that I believed in Christ, because I saw my dad, I think it was probably people from the church on the corner came, and they had their Bibles and everything. And Dad just threw them right off the steps. Boom. Goodbye. I go, ooh. So when I believed in Christ as my Savior, I thought, I'm not going to tell Dad. He'll throw me out of the house or shoot me, one or the other. So I didn't want to tell anybody. And I was home a week, having breakfast with my mom. Rich, what happened at that camp? Mom, I want to tell somebody. I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And she just started bawling, crying. I said, I was afraid to tell anybody. I thought Dad would disown me, throw me out of the house. She said, well, everybody, all your brothers and your sister know something happened to you at this camp. And they all been telling, they've been talking, all they've been talking about is what happened to Richard. He's nice to us now. I didn't think I would do anything any different. And what was that? Well, I was just a baby believer. But I hadn't got out of fellowship with God yet. I actually stayed in fellowship for about a week. Amazing. And they could see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Very in little form, but compared to what it was before, fantastic. Well, the believer in the Word of God is told not to marry an unbeliever. My mom was a believer. Then I believed in Christ at this camp. Gave the gospel to my brother Don on the football team. He became a believer. Gave the gospel to my brother Mike. He became a believer. My sister Judy became a believer. My brother Dave became a believer. The entire Olson clan was revolutionized for Jesus Christ, except my dad. And I told all the rest of them, I said, now I'm down at Wazoo. When you get a chance, give Dad the gospel. Whenever you get a chance, give him the gospel. And they did. And when I came home, one time my dad was getting ready for bed, sitting on the edge of the bed, smoking a cigarette. And rubbing his hands together. And so I went in and said by him, I said, Dad, you look like you're not doing too well. He goes, oh, I just don't understand. I feel so bad. I shouldn't have brought you kids into the world. Well, actually, God did that. But he says, look at this world that I brought you into. I don't know how you can even live in this world. And I said, Dad, there is a God. And he has created the universe. And he is in charge of everything. And I said, he has promised in his word that this earth is going to last after Jesus Christ comes back for 1,000 years. Perfect environment, no war, for 1,000 years. He's guaranteed it. It's promised. So you don't have to worry about those things. I said, Dad, Mom's a believer. She has believed in Christ as her Savior. I'm a believer. Don is a believer. Mike's a believer. Judy's a believer. Dave's a believer. The only one who hasn't believed in Christ as their Savior is you. He says, I'm too bad. I'm too bad. I know I can't go to heaven. I'm too bad. I said, Dad, you don't understand. You're halfway there. Before you can look for a solution, you got to realize you got a problem. You know you got a problem. You think your problem is so great, you can never get to heaven. I said, your problem's been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid the penalty for all of those things that you think are too bad in your life so that you could never go to heaven. He paid the penalty for all of them. You're halfway there. You have one foot in heaven. All you have to do is believe in the one who paid the penalty for all those sins. Simple faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you. And my dad believed in Christ. He believed in Christ. And he came here and visited every year. And when I first told him that I was, he always would ask, what are you going to do the rest of your life? I didn't know. I was at Washington State University majoring in English. And he said, well, what are you going to do with English? I said, well, maybe I'll be an English teacher. Why would you want to be an English teacher? Well, that's a good question. I don't know why. But I just thought maybe I could be an English teacher. And then God showed me I had the gift of pastor-teacher. I was so excited and drove up home, went out on the job. Dad's out with his hard hat, piping, overalls on. I said, Dad, I know what I'm supposed to do the rest of my life. Really, what? I'm going to be a pastor teacher and teach the word of God. He bit down on the pipe, broke it and threw the pipe down. You're not going to be one of those blankety blank blank preachers, are you? I'm not going to be one of those guys. Well, my dad, I gave him booklets to read. He listened to classes. He came here. And after coming here and visiting for 1 year, he took me aside. He said, Rich, he said, the world needs more people like you doing what you're doing right now. This is what the world needs. Oh, they don't need Donald Trump as president? No. They need faithful communicators like you teaching the Word of God. And that, for my dad, that was, you talk about a change of mental attitude. Phenomenal change of mental attitude. You got to know you have a problem before you seek a solution. My dad thought he was too much of a sinner. He could never get into heaven. And when he realized Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all of those sins, he did believe in Christ. And he is in heaven. And it was a very wonderful privilege and honor for me to give my father's memorial service and my mother's memorial service. It was a great privilege and honor. Both of them are in heaven. And to do Debbie's parents, her mother's memorial service and her father's memorial service, and both of them are in heaven. And they're up there, her mom and dad, and my mom and dad, and they're getting together with the Lord and having really good wine, not the kind Vanzilla drinks over here, you know, really good stuff. So what was the last point I gave you there? Six? Yeah. So the Mosaic Law points to the solution of the first marriage. Christ and his salvation work on the cross. 7. However, the problem must be understood before one seeks the solution. The problem must be understood before one seeks the solution. That's point 7. Point 8, without understanding the problem in your own life, a sinner in spiritual death, enslaved to the sin nature, which is the ruler of human life from physical birth to salvation, you see no need for the solution. You see no need for eternal salvation by faith in Christ. So without understanding the problem in your own life, that you are a sinner and need a Savior, that you are enslaved to the sin nature, ruler of human life, then you see no need for the solution. Eternal salvation by faith in Christ. 9, the Mosaic Law communicates both the problem and the solution. And there were a lot of people that Paul is writing to and who felt that the Mosaic Law was sinful and horrible, and the Apostle Paul is telling them the Mosaic Law is from God, the Mosaic Law is perfect, the Mosaic Law is holy, and the Mosaic Law communicates the problem and the solution. So verse 10 again says, and this very commandment, emphasizing the Mosaic Law as the marriage counsel of the first marriage, which was supposed to result in life, eternal life, codex number 2, I discovered it resulted in spiritual death for me, codex number 1. Now verse 11, the problem is the sin nature, Paul is saying, it's not the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law is not the problem, the sin nature is the problem. That's verse 11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment. This is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the nominative singular of hamartia with the definite article plus the aorist active participle of lambano plus the accusative singular of aforme plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of entole with the definite article. Well, we start out with the conjunction gar, and gar, G-A-R, it's an explanatory gar, and you translate it for. And then hamartia, and hamartia, if it's in the plural, personal sins. If it's in the singular, which it is here, it most of the time the sin nature. So we have it in the singular again, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia in the singular, most of the time, the sin nature, and it refers to the sin nature here. And that is the real problem. Who is the sin nature? The first husband, as unbelievers, the real problem is the sin nature. The real problem is not the Mosaic Law. The real problem is the sin nature. For the sin nature, and then the verb lambano. Looks like that in the Greek, L-A-M-B-A-N, long O, lambano. Now, a couple of things on the verb lambano. When it's used actively as an hour verse, it means to take or to take in one's hand or to take hold of or to grasp or to seize. All of those are similar, and we're going to translate it, to seize. The accusative direct object of lambano is the noun aforme. So what are the seizing? Seizing, a lambanoing, aforme. Yeah. A-P-H-O-R-M, long E, aforme. And point two, a forme literally was the starting point or the base of operations for an expedition. This is Arnton Gingrich, the Greek Lexicon, page 127. So a forme literally was the starting point or base of operations for an expedition. And then, generally, it was the resources or commercial capital needed to carry through an undertaking. Point three, figuratively, it means occasion or opportunity. And that's how we're translating it, opportunity. So point four, with the verb lambano, which we have in our verse, this is correctly translated, having seized the opportunity. Having seized the opportunity. For the old sin nature, having seized the opportunity. And then Arnton Gingrich, page 179, tells us that in our verse, dia plus the genitive denotes the efficient cause, and you translate it through. And then the object of the preposition dia is entele, that's our word commandment, a reference to Codex number one, the 10th commandment specifically, you shall not lust. So, for the sin nature, having seized the opportunity through the commandment, the 10th commandment, you shall not lust. And then we have the aorist active indicative of ex apatao, plus the accusative singular of the personal pronoun ego. Ex apatao. E-K-S-A-P-A-T-A, long O, ex apatao. One, this verb means to deceive or to cheat. To deceive or to cheat. Two, this is the verb used to describe Satan's deception of Eve in the garden. This is the verb used to describe Satan's deception of Eve in the garden. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Second Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I am afraid lest, as the serpent ex apatao'd Eve, deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And then this word is used in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Turn over to 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, starting at verse 13. For Adam was formed first, the creation of Adam. He came first. And then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was ex apatao. It was the woman who was deceived and became the first sinner. The first sinner in the human race was the woman. And then, you know, she gave, and it wasn't an apple. There are no apples in the garden. This was fruit. She gave it to her husband, and he said, well, if you're spiritually dead and out, I don't want to be by myself, so give me that thing. He knew what he was doing. She was deceived, and he knew what he was doing. Three, the old sin nature deceives us and cheats us out of blessing in life. The old sin nature deceives us and cheats us out of blessing in life. The aorist tense is the constative aorist, viewing this deception and cheating of the sin nature in our life in its entirety. The active voice, the sin nature, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, dogmatic truth of the Word of God. So, for the sin nature, having seized the opportunity through the commandment, the 10th commandment, you shall not lust, deceived me, ex apotaoed me, and then it slew me. Well, that's just too much for one thing on Sunday morning. We've seen it deceived. Now we don't want to get slewed as well. So we'll start with slewing next week. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the blessings you give to us. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.